Good morning, Orlando. I'm Elizabeth Doherty. Welcome to the best morning show in the area. Well, we know the debates happened last night. Who do you think won? We're going to talk about it right now. You're the voice, try and understand it. Make the noise and make it clear. Oh, oh. We're not going to sit in silence. We're not going to live with fear. Oh,
this is the Doherty Report with Elizabeth Doherty. On The Voice, AM 1440, here's Elizabeth Doherty.
You know, some people drink coffee in the morning. I eat chocolates. That's what I do. I know that sounds corny.
That's no, not do. At all, sweetie.
Well, they're good chocolates.
I know they are.
Very
I
good.
Picked them out special for you last night.
Very nice. Some truffles. That's how I get through the morning drive. So what are you doing this morning? You're heading to work? You know, I told you we have a new news person, Nigel.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to tell you the top four things you need to know.
Nigel kind of manned up today, I'm just going to tell you.
Thanks, Elizabeth. I'm Nigel, and these are the four things you need to know. The first of three 2016 presidential debates is in the history books. Joe Gomez has the story.
Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton exchange blows during the first presidential debate of 2016.
30 years you've been doing it, and now you're just starting to think of solutions.
Well, actually,
I will bring, excuse me, I will bring back jobs. You can't bring back jobs.
Well, actually, I have thought about this quite a bit.
Yeah, for 30
and
years.
I have, well, not quite that long. I have a feeling that by the end of this evening, I'm going to be blamed for everything that's ever happened.
Why not?
One of the most notable moments during last night's debate was when Trump vowed to release his tax returns.
I will release my tax returns against my lawyer's wishes. When she releases her 33,000 emails that have been deleted, as soon as she releases them, I will release my tax returns.
Hillary Clinton leads Donald Trump in a new poll. The latest NBC News SurveyMonkey poll shows Clinton up 45% to 40%, which is the same as last week.
Orlando Health is memorializing the Pulse nightclub terror attack and the victims. The hospital where most of the injured were treated dedicated a Pulse Memorial Pave at Gardner's Lake Beauty Park on the hospital system's Orange Avenue campus. 49 limestone pavers were installed surrounding a garden and a fountain. Surviving victims and families of the Pulse era attack are set to start receiving compensation starting this week. News 6 in Orlando reports one Orlando fund officials approved a plan yesterday to begin distributing nearly $30 million to some 300 claimants. Funds are expected to be distributed starting Friday. Tim Kaine is hoping to energize Florida voters in the I-4 corridor to vote for the Democratic ticket. Hillary Clinton's running mate campaigned yesterday before a crowd of dozens at the Lakeland Center. Kaine watched last night's debate against running mate Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump at an Orlando watch party. Hillary Clinton campaigns today in North Carolina. Now, here's Trixie the weather girl with your forecast.
Mostly sunny today with a high near 91, then a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 8 p.m., partly cloudy, with a low around 74. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. I'm Trixie, your weather girl. That's your Central Florida forecast on 1440 The Voice.
Does he not know how to pronounce Trixie?
Well, it's an English name. Well, an American name, and he's British. So in his language, it comes out Trixie.
Okay.
But I will give him props for having a soundbite on his first day on
his
the job.
Soundbite, yeah.
That was pretty good. Very
Way
good,
better
Nigel.
Than Hal.
Oh, I know. Hal was a slacker by comparison.
He was a slacker. Is he still in Puerto Rico?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
We don't care. Anyway. So last night was a debate. We've got a whole bunch of my little cue sheet here says news bite a palooza. We have a whole bunch of sound clips from last night's debate. Who do you think won? Who do you think prevailed in the debate last night? You want to know my opinion? You're not going to like it, Michael.
I agree with you.
I think Hillary cleaned his clock.
I wouldn't go that far, but she did not do as poorly as I thought she was going to
do. She was prepared.
She was very prepared.
She looked and sounded presidential. She was good. You can't deny it.
I know you're doing the eye roll. You know what?
It makes you crazy.
The body gesture, my body language right now.
Your arms are crossed.
She is a professional politician. She knows how to go out and prep for a debate.
She kicked his behind last night.
She actually did well. I wouldn't say she kicked his behind.
Oh, come
on. He got a couple of jabs in there.
He took some cheap shots, I thought.
So did she.
Where?
Near the end of it.
What were her cheap shots?
Near the end of it, when she started talking about the comments about women from 20-some years ago. Hey, if we're going to talk about cheap shots in 20 years ago, where were you when Vince Foster's body was found at Fort Marcy Park, Mrs. Clinton?
You know, you're such a Republican.
See that? So if you want to lob, you know, cheap shots, let's just go at it, babe.
How do you know that had anything to do with her?
How did his records wind up in the third floor of the White House in the living quarters? How did all those billing records from the Law Rose firm wind up there in connection with the Whitewater investigation when they said they had no idea? So if we want to take 20-year-old pot shots at each other, see, that's the thing. These two, Clinton and Trump, are so connected for so many years that...
They actually were friends.
Yes.
That's the weird part.
They know the dirt on each other. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, they do.
They know each other's dirty secrets. And
yes.
Nobody's talking about that.
You know, it amazed me he didn't bring up Benghazi. I didn't hear him bring up Benghazi.
You know what? When they were talking about imports, that's the first thing I would have done. You know, Mrs. Clinton... The biggest thing you imported during your time as Secretary of State was 4 body bags from Benghazi.
But he didn't go there. Why?
I would have.
Why
I would
didn't
have
put he go
her
there?
On the mat.
But he didn't.
But he didn't.
I thought, you know, there's 2 more debates, right?
Right.
This one, he came across a little bit... Don't get mad at me, but I think he could have been a little more forceful and assertive. And I think he was trying not to be because he didn't want to be seen as, you know, being disrespectful to a woman candidate.
Let's talk about the actual format of that debate last night. And Lester Holt. I'm just going to step back and let you go.
Do you think he was fair? Do you think he was fair? He kept cutting off Trump, you know, and they kept screwing around with the microphones. Did you notice that?
Well, that could have also been the streaming and buffering because we were watching and listening online. So I'm going to give them kind
they
of the...
They kept going up and down.
I'm going to kind
when
of...
When he was talking, it didn't happen with her.
No. So I don't know if they had some sort of weird mic processing problem with his microphone.
Yeah, right. They kept turning down his microphone. I don't even know if he noticed, but they did, which I think is inherently unfair, and it would have driven me nuts.
There were a couple of things. One, the distance between them. It would, you know, you could not have placed them any further apart on the stage without somebody being in the audience. Okay, which made confrontations kind of difficult, and it played to her strength or it played to her weakness, actually, because he
did
can get
down. Did you notice the split screen?
Yes.
How tall she looked in the split screen?
What they did was they took that camera and
they
lifted it up.
They made her look taller than him.
Because he is actually 10 inches taller than she is.
But on the split screen.
How they were even.
No, she was actually even slightly taller.
Well, slightly taller because of the hair. Which is amazing because of, you know, he had full hair and, you know, the full hair thing
the full
going
comb
last
over.
Night. Yes.
But she looked actually really good.
And you called it.
What?
Red pantsuit.
Yeah, I said she was going to wear a red pantsuit.
I thought she might have done something a little, you know.
No, she wanted a power pantsuit. It's like
power
wearing a red tie.
Suit.
And he didn't want to be too assertive, so he wore a blue tie.
Well, he's going to have to step it up next time. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, maybe
one
less campaign stop and one more sitting down with Roger Ailes and getting your act together before going out on the national stage in front of 100 million people.
I don't think he was prepared.
No, he wasn't prepared. I think he will be next time.
That was
time.
Disappointing.
I think he will be next time.
You know, on foreign policy and, you know, the issues that they asked him about.
Yeah. Well, they really didn't get into too much foreign policy. It was feel good. Let's talk about race. Let's talk about your vision for America.
Let's talk
jobs.
About your tax returns.
Yeah.
That's a mistake, too.
Why
not release your tax returns? What's the big deal? You know? If somebody asked me for my tax returns, you know, I'm just like, whatever, here you go. Right?
Yeah. My thought would be, what is in them that would prevent him from releasing them? And it might be donations to the Clinton Foundation, and that's why she's pressing him so hard. Have you thought about that?
No, I have not.
Okay. Why do you think she's pressing him so hard on the release, because remember what I said, these two know the dirt on each other.
Listen, she went through law school. Once you go through law school, you are used to being pressed.
You mean being a horse's ass? Oh.
No.
Oh, okay.
What I mean is you're used to, you know, having to perform and stepping up.
Yes. All right.
You have to. So, from that perspective, I think she was better prepared.
Oh, there's no question. You know, in the shot, Donald tried to take a shot at her about staying home and prepping for the debate. He should have.
That was a cheap shot.
That was dumb. That was dumb.
That was a cheap.
That was ill-advised.
You don't say something like that to somebody who's been unwell. You know, and mm-hmm. I was not, you know, a fan of Hillary, okay? You know that. But when he said that, I was like, that was not cool. He's going to have to actually have some substance, some facts. Where are your facts? Enough with the rhetoric.
Well, she is trotting out the exact same lines that she uses on, yeah, they both do, on the campaign trail, on their campaign stops. Using the exact same, you know, lines and all that.
She had actual facts, though. She, you know, quoted statistics and facts and, you know, whether they're right or wrong, she, you know, she was very well prepared.
Yep.
And he was not.
I wonder if they checked her to make sure she wasn't wearing an earbud this time. Just saying.
She might have been. She might have been. I don't know. Because, I mean,
she what?
She had all the answers.
Yes, she did, seemingly.
And she did not allow him to rattle her. She smiled the whole time.
There were a couple of times I could see, you know, her, what's the word, she was perturbed. That's it. Her perturbance was showing.
She didn't, but she didn't react.
No, not as...
She did not.
I was expecting her to... I was expecting him to get under her skin a bit more.
Well, he didn't.
And wear her out. I was expecting him to just keep going and going and going until she just started coughing. And it didn't happen.
He didn't. She didn't. She won that debate, I think. We'll be right back.
Elizabeth on Twitter, keyword Doherty Report, and visit thedohertyreport.com for news updates, show highlights, podcasts, commentaries, and a whole lot more. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Taking a right turn for a second. South Memphis woman tells story of walking in on burglars having sex on her couch. Why would people do that?
I don't know. That's disgusting.
That's as bad as the Facebook thing, you know, where the guy was checking his Facebook during the robbery. This is actually worse. A South Memphis woman is in shock after catching two burglars having... I can't even read that. Relations in her house. And ransacking her house. So, her front door was open. She was away for a few days. Her front door was open.
Uh-huh.
And...
there's some jokes there I'm going to stay away from.
What do you mean?
No, I'm not. You're not going to goad me into... You're not going to, you know, trick me into...
She picked up a broom...
Just the picture of that. You sons of bitches.
Yeah.
Get off of my couch.
I guess she went after them with the broom. yeah, that would be rather upsetting. You come home from a trip and people are having sex in your house that you don't know.
Yeah, not even on your bed, but on
and
your couch.
And robbing you.
Yeah.
So, I wonder what they took. Did they take something first, or were they just checking up in her house? I don't know. Very odd. Anyway.
Speaking of having your way with someone. Donald Trump had his way with Janet Yellen at the of the Fed last night. I mean, he did everything to her you could imagine.
And to
the Federal Reserve Board? Oh, my. And did you see Hillary's expressions when he was talking about them?
Well, because she's, you know, she's given the Fed, you know, an on-her-knees love fest.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
I mean, he's ready to audit the Fed, and he's ready to, you know, say to hell with them and all you globalist pigs and get out of here. He's ready to, you know, he's ready to kick them out.
I mean, if she had no teeth and her head were flat, she'd be perfect.
My God.
Just saying.
But he let the Fed have it last night.
He did.
Uh-huh. I loved it.
Well, you know... She said a couple of interesting things. She said that, you know, she talked about student loans, which speaks to my heart since I have $120,000 in student loans. And.
Well, yeah. And again, the questions were posed, they were written and crafted in such a way so that they would showcase, you know, the soft, fuzzy mommy you know, maternal Hillary Clinton and make him look bad because he doesn't feel that way. But what you have to do is you have to ask yourself, what is the role of the president? Is the president to be the mommy of the nation? And how many of these things that she promised?
Everybody wants a mommy.
Everybody wants a mommy. And a rubber suit, right? Everybody wants a mommy.
I miss my mommy.
Yeah. Here's the deal. How many of those things that she sat there and rattled off that she was going to promise, that she was going to do, are within the power of the president to actually do? And how many of those are state issues? And when they started talking about crime, and when they started talking about, you know, stop and frisk, those are not federal offenses. Those are not something that the president can legislate.
Yeah, they say all this stuff that they can't legislate.
They can't do it?
No, they can't do it.
And, you know, what Trump should have done and what somebody should set Trump down and tell him is, look, every time she says something that is outside the grounds of what the Constitution says the president can do, you ought to call her on it. And you ought to say, no, Madam Secretary, that is the power of the governor of the individual states, not the president.
I'll give you a story you can be happy about.
And conservatives would love it. Go ahead.
Beef prices, which have been increasing for years,
mm-hmm.
are now coming down. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, consumer prices for most beef products dropped 2% from December to January, and most cuts of steak are down 6 to 11%.
Why?
I guess there's more beef. I don't know. You know, I don't eat a lot of meat, so I don't really know. But it's gone down, like ground beef has gone down from $4.71 a pound to about $4.49 a pound and $4.39 as of January. So
could it have anything to do with the consumption of chicken and the fact that people are eating more and more and more chicken?
Or it could be that people aren't eating meat at all.
That's correct. And then to lure them back, the prices are dropping.
That could be. Because to me, it wasn't really worth it. You know, from a health standpoint and a price standpoint, I was kind of like, eh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, occasionally I'll eat meat. Occasionally.
Yeah, because you're a carnivore, but usually you're a, what is it, a pescator? Is that what it is?
I eat fish.
Fish.
Mostly. You know, if I eat any protein mm-hmm. at all, I'll yeah. eat, it'll be fish. And, or vegan. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't eat a lot of meat.
And you're healthier as a result of it.
Well, it's, you know, if you've ever watched Forks Over Knives, you probably wouldn't eat any meat. Have you watched that yet?
Bits and pieces of it. Not the whole thing.
Are you inspired?
Yes, I am. And in fact, I made contact yesterday with one of the local hospitals mm-hmm. who offers a program specifically for pre-diabetics to get the weight management under control and to keep you from becoming diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to share my story as we go through this.
Really?
How's that?
That's interesting.
I told you I was serious about it. Because you know what? You can't have somebody else behind this board and behind this microphone but me. So I owe it to you to stay healthy.
So what you're saying is no one else can produce my
show? That's correct.
Okay.
No one.
Telling. listen to the show on your smartphone, just go to GCNlive.com and click on Listening Options. This is the Daugherty Report. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Good morning, Orlando. Welcome back. So, kind of a sad story. The guy with the Marlins, the pitcher, who was killed.
Jose Fernandez.
Yeah. There's a story about that this morning.
Yeah, they honored him last night at the Miami Marlins Stadium. The all the players on the Miami Marlins last night wore his team jersey number 16.
Wow.
Okay, so everyone wore a number 16 last night, and Marlins owner Jeffrey Loria says no one's ever going to wear that number again. They're going to retire the number. And this is difficult. They paid a tribute to him. Let me see if I can get this to play. They had a very, very somber version of Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
The New York Mets and the Marlins all met.
That's kind of sad.
And shared an embrace, a very extraordinary moment here at Marlins Park.
Yeah, all the players from the Mets, and look at that. You, all of them wearing 16, that is just really, really something. Let's see if this is coming up here.
I think it is. Cespedes and the Mets.
That's so sad.
The embrace.
They're lining up.
Now, and now it's for the Marlins and the Mets.
I mean, the guy didn't do anything wrong.
No.
He was just a victim of circumstance.
They're all kneeling and praying at the pitcher's mound, writing their names in the clay.
You can see the players rubbing the dirt on their pants. Jose Fernandez,
that's really
in Cuba,
hard.
Grew up without rosin bats.
Yeah, all right. That's Cuba. Quite a story. And then the first player up, let's see if I can find it here. First player up, not hit a home run all season. Takes a couple of, you know, couple of pitches, nothing. Then whacks one right out of the stadium. Just nailed it. And of course the Marlins went on to win that one last night.
Nice.
I mean, and that's what a team does. And I'm going to tell you, it's really weird seeing everyone with the same jersey on, and they've got...
Okay, you're making me really sad.
But that's what a team is supposed to be. That's what a team is supposed to do. There's about 25 guys there on the field, all holding hands, breaking the huddle, and getting ready to go play baseball.
That's right, why I love sports.
Oh, I know, me too. Hold on just a second. Let me see if I can get this to play now.
Let's start our night here at Marlins Park, down on the field.
I was hoping I could hear the Take Me Out to the Ball Game. They had a trumpeter do this.
I don't know. I mean,
we'll give it another couple of seconds here, and then we'll bail on it. There's the owner of the Miami Marlins, Jeffrey Loria. Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, these guys, they all wore the same number.
And these guys, you can tell they're emotional. You know, it's a brother in the bullpen. I mean, brother in the in the locker room.
Yeah.
All right. I'll see if I can find that that special version of Take Me Out to the Ball Game last night that they dedicated to him.
Wow. That's very sad. And if you didn't hear us yesterday, his girlfriend is pregnant. And that's also sad. But
as this was going on, they were showing highlights of his career up on the big screen and all.
He was only 24.
Yeah. Anyway, and ties to Tampa, went to Alonzo High School.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, apparently there's another benefit to roller coasters you didn't know.
Which is?
It gets rid of kidney stones. Who knew? This is according to The Atlantic.
Which it gets rid of kidney stones.
Yeah, that's not a slouchy publication.
No, it's not.
East Lansing, Michigan becomes a ghost town during spring break. Families head south, often to the theme parks in Orlando. A week later, the Midwesterners return sunburned and bereft of disposable income. But basically, they talk about... kidney stones,
mm-hmm.
which affect 1 in 10 people. Most are small, but many linger in our kidneys and grow, sending hundreds of thousands of people to emergency rooms and costing $3.8 billion every year. But what they're saying is there's a man who rode Big Thunder Mountain Railroad at Disney's Magic Kingdom.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And got rid of his kidney stones. Then he did it again and got rid of another kidney stone. And then another. So.
Okay, well, first of all, if this guy's got 3 kidney stones, he's got a medical problem. And just going to Disney World.
But 1 in 10 people.
I know.
Have this.
How bizarre. I mean, I've heard of, you know, scaring the out
how bizarre.
Of you.
That's scaring a song.
The. Yeah, I know. How bizarre. How bizarre. I've heard of, you know, having the scared out of you, you know, but. To scare that and the kidney stones, too?
I love Big Thunder Mountain, by the way. Because it's sort of a roller coaster, but it's sort of a ride, and it's not too much. You know what I mean? It's a great ride.
So did Disney comment on this, saying, hey, we don't recommend, you know, we'd rather you not pass kidney stones on our rides?
No, they didn't. They did not.
This is not an approved use. What?
Wait a second.
Wait a minute.
Researchers had to get permission from Disney World before bringing a model kidney onto the rides. So they tested this theory.
Okay, a model kidney.
Yeah. They went to guest services. And they didn't want them to wonder what was going on. So they told them what the intent was and explained that they were testing the kidney stone theory.
What if you had to stand in line and go through the cattle thing, you know?
There's
with
more.
With a kidney in your hand.
There's more.
Okay, go ahead.
The two held a backpack between them at kidney height to try to subject the model to the same forces that a person would experience. A stone was counted as passed if it moved from a starting location. So they tried to test the theory with a fake kidney.
With a fake kidney.
Yes.
Inside a backpack.
At Disney World. Yes.
Nice.
See, Disney World does more than just provide, you know, enjoyment.
It's medical research now.
It's medical. Medically helpful
mm-hmm.
to go to Disney World. Is that weird or what?
Yeah, well, you know what else is missing?
What?
Getting a doctor's prescription to go on Thunder Mountain?
Mm-hmm.
Getting a doctor's prescription to go on Thunder Mountain to pass your kidney stones. And having your insurance company pay for your trip to Disney.
The stones pass 63.89% of the time.
Think how much money the insurance company would save instead of you going to the doctor and, you know, them lasering it out of you or something like that.
that's based on 60 rides. And the quote, preliminary study findings support the anecdotal evidence that a ride on a moderate intensity roller coaster could benefit patients with small kidney stones. He has done more than 200 total rides on the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, but that doesn't mean it's the only coaster that could be therapeutic. So,
can I deliver the punchline?
What's that?
You remember in the old days when you'd get your tickets to go on the rides at Disney?
Oh, the e-ticket?
Uh-huh. You know what this one would be?
What?
Oh, come on!
What?
Just go through the alphabet.
The K ticket?
No.
The S ticket?
No.
What?
P!
Follow Elizabeth on Twitter, keyword Doherty Report, for news updates, show highlights, podcasts, commentaries, and a whole lot more. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Just like a dancing fool over there.
Funk you up. I could use some funking up. Somebody needs to step up and funk me up. Just saying.
Hey, guess who got thrown off of the campus of Hofstra University last night? I'm just going to keep driving the bus. Guess who got thrown off the campus of...
I don't know.
Hofstra University last night. Dr. Jill Stein.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who she is?
No.
She is one of the candidates for president.
Hmm.
She's the presidential nominee from the Green Party. She was supposed to have an interview, she said, supposed to have an interview with MSNBC.
Apparently not.
Did not have credentials.
Apparently not.
And was not allowed on campus, and they threw her ass right off.
See, she didn't get funked up either.
No. So she's all, you know, bunched up this morning. You know, I'm a candidate for president, too.
Yeah. Okay. So the SunRail... hit a train, a SunRail train hit a car in Longwood 4 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. We talked about it on the program.
And there's 6 days ago, police activity suspended SunRail service in Orange County. What is with all these SunRail issues?
We've talked about this and tried to understand...
Go ahead.
No, you go.
I'm just, you know, I'm wondering why Orange Avenue is closed. I thought, I heard that it was a train issue.
Okay. Well,
another train issue.
There's nothing on the city of Orlando's police blotter.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't put it on there either.
Nor on the FHP site, so.
Okay.
It may have been something that, you know, was there and now is gone.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Okay.
You know, but in my role as traffic reporter, there's nothing officially there.
I mean, the SunRail is very pretty and everything. It looks nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are some issues Just saying.
I don't think the issues are with the SunRail.
What do you think they are?
I think the issues are rather with the commuters around.
This doesn't happen in other places.
I know it doesn't, because people are smart in other places, and when they see a damn train...
Is it a Florida thing?
Yes. And it's not even an Orlando thing. It's a Florida thing, because you have accidents like this happening all over the state, and you also have, you know, the same parents leaving babies in the car. There is a reason.
Yeah, that's weird, too.
There is a reason why.
How do you forget your child in a car? I mean,
how do you ignore those flashing red lights? Oh, I think I'll just go around those gates and go sit up on the top of the tracks and wait.
Well, people do that.
I know they do, trying to get around the train. You know, and then the car who just made it over didn't leave enough room.
Oops.
And then, whoops, and then your ass is right on the peak of the tracks, and you can't go anywhere.
Right. If there's a car in front of you, you can't...
No, you're done.
You know, go anywhere. So, we got to get a handle on this thing. I mean, it's just getting... It's bad. It's way too many incidents, don't you think?
I'm Googling.
And now they're going to have service on Saturdays. So you're going to have hungover people, you know, driving across the tracks, which is even worse. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's an extra day for...
It's an extra opportunity to get smacked by the SunRail train.
Right. Exactly. So, you know.
I mean, I'm sitting here. I typed
apparently we're not ready for mass transit or something. I don't know.
I think
in New York.
Oh, I know. They're used to it in New York.
Things like this don't happen. People actually...
You rarely hear somebody...
No, you never really hear about anything like that.
In the subway or anything like that?
No.
Never happens.
And the subway isn't always underground. It's, you know, part of it in different parts of the city, it's above ground. But you never hear about an issue like that.
And with as many, you know, people who use it and with as many miles as it covers... This is, what, a couple of trains, like four trains on the SunRail system, and what, one track north and south.
That's it. I know.
That's it. I think there's actually two. But
we can't handle that, apparently.
There's about a dozen stops, you mm-hmm. know, between DeBerry and Sand Lake Road.
You know, I understand they want to expand this. The theme parks want it expanded to the parks.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were them, I'd be worried about liability, the way they're conducting this whole thing.
I was going to say, I think, you know, the safest way for mass transit in Orlando would be like the monorail that goes nice and slowly. It's easy to get on and get off. It doesn't require a whole lot of thought.
The monorail is, you know... It can be dangerous. I mean, if you.
Yes, it can be, but, you know, so can walking.
If you fell off the platform, you'd have a real problem from the electricity and stuff. That's a different thing.
Yeah, I worry about our species.
Well, yeah. I mean... We try to, you know, have mass transit. We can't even handle that. Stay with us. Good morning, Orlando. I'm Elizabeth Doherty. It appears Hillary Clinton won the debate last night, and Lester Holt sucked out loud. We're going to talk about it right now.
Doherty Report with Elizabeth Doherty on The Voice, AM 1440. Here's Elizabeth Doherty.
I hate to say it, because I like Donald Trump. I've read all his books. Like the guy. Think he's a good businessman. But I think he choked last night. And I also think that Lester Holt was awful. Awful. I mean, he... he was obviously biased. Obviously biased. And he kept asking the same question towards the end of the debate. What was that stupid question he kept asking?
Which one?
Towards the end. He kept asking the same stupid question. I was like, that doesn't even make sense.
He did that a couple of times.
I'm thinking, what is wrong with this person? You know, I'm a better interviewer than this guy.
Well, he's not an interviewer. He's a journalist. He's a journalist. You are
a journalist.
You are a radio entertainer, performer.
Yeah, but for
show host,
a journalist, he could have been better, I think. Don Lemon would have been better.
Yeah, Don Lemon would.
And that's not a big endorsement, okay?
Oh, man.
That is not a big endorsement.
They were calling, it's on Drudge right now, they were calling Lester Holt the third debater because of the number of times that he got involved with the conversation itself. It said that tonight's debate, Donald Trump, this was written at 11 o'clock last night at Heat Street. It said, at tonight's debate, Donald Trump faced off against not only Hillary Clinton, but against moderator Lester Holt. The game of two-on-one saw Holt ask no questions about Hillary's email, Benghazi, or the Clinton Foundation. Do you remember any questions about the Clinton Foundation? Do you remember any questions about those four people who served at the Benghazi embassy? Do you remember any questions from Lester about the email scandal?
Nope.
Oh. By the way, did you happen to see the story yesterday about how much money James Comey came away with? Or let me find it. I want to make sure I'm quoting it correctly. Let's hope it's still on Drudge. The connection between James Comey, the FBI director, and the Clinton Foundation.
Huh.
Huh.
Who
knew?
Who knew? But that's not really the point.
No, you're right. It's not the point. The point is that, you know, Holt grilled Trump on stop and frisk, the birther story, his comments on women, his bankruptcies, why he hasn't returned.
And who kept turning his microphone down?
I don't know. Now, again...
That was really... That would have driven me insane.
We could give them the benefit of the doubt saying that it was, you know, we were watching
a technical problem.
Yeah, we were watching on the stream, the streaming video feed.
It shouldn't make any difference.
From NBC News, but it should not have made any difference.
I mean, how hard is that to make sure the microphones are level?
They're calling it the Candy Crowley moment. Where he, you know, bowed to pressure from the Hillary Clinton campaign and fellow members of the media to go nice on Hillary.
I think the presidential race is important enough that you should be fair. And I don't think he was fair. I don't. But I also think that Trump should have been more prepared than he was.
Agree, and I think he will be for the next one.
I hope so. I hope so, because, you know, I think he's smart enough that he could, you know, do that. But, I mean, she actually practiced. He did not. obviously.
Well, again, this is what a professional politician does. A professional politician, they have their, okay, this is the agenda. Here's when you show up. Here's where you practice for the debates. Here's what you say. You know, here's how to conduct yourself when the other person is. Trump has had none of that coaching whatsoever. She's been at it for 30-some years. What he needs to do, is to point out, Hillary, you are operating under, you're operating under the script.
Well, he said,
you're just performing the script.
He did say that. But the problem with Trump was he didn't seem to have enough facts
on his own to combat.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem.
He will next time.
He's gotta learn more about foreign policy. Big time. Big time. I mean, if I were running for president, I would know the names of the people in the Middle East that we should be concerned about. I would know exactly which countries we are dealing with. I mean, at any given moment, there are special forces in, like, you know, many different countries.
Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing that he needs to do. He needs to be smart about this and play the game like a politician. How many times have you seen Obama, President Obama, let's be proper here, President Obama put props in the audience during the State of the Union address? Sitting up next to Michelle Obama is, you know, this person who went through this horrible thing. And he'll use them as props to tell the story. Trump needs to do the same thing. This is a man who was incarcerated as a result of mandatory minimums, which were signed by Bill Clinton. And you, Mrs. Clinton.
That amazed me that she brought up mandatory minimums without mentioning the fact that
her husband was the one who created that whole nightmare. So that African-American males are jailed at much, much higher rates. And for longer sentences.
Well, you have to remember where he's from.
Arkansas?
Yeah. Not a very, you know, person of color friendly state, in my opinion. Just saying.
Oh, I know. But that's what I'm saying. He needs to use more props. This is Joe. Joe worked at a tire factory in Toledo.
Personal stories, yeah.
Yes. Joe worked at the Toledo factory. And you know what? Ford is moving that plant down to Mexico. And as a result, Joe is losing his job. And when Joe loses his job, Joe is not going to be able to make his bank payment. And sitting next to Joe is Jason. Jason is Joe's banker. And they're going to watch that house go into foreclosure.
One of the most moving things I ever did was, you know, when I went to D.C. after the oil spill and met with the families and heard their personal stories.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful. I mean, these are people, in many cases, that, you know, I met with one family. They were people of color, and they had been fishery people. The guy had like a sixth grade education, and this is all they did. And it was so moving to me because this whole, you know, oil spill thing devastated their livelihood.
Yep. And when you hear these personal stories about what it did and how it impacted and how Washington's decisions impacted people's lives.
They don't care. In Washington?
No, I know they don't care.
They don't care.
It resonates with the rest of us. And that's what Trump needs to do. I just pulled up the debate schedule here.
When's the next debate?
The next debate is actually the vice presidential debate. And that's coming up on Tuesday, October 4th. That's going to pit Tim Kaine against Mike Pence.
Pence will kick it.
We'll see.
I think he'll be great.
You've got Elena
I wish Pence actually were the candidate.
He's not ready yet. Just give him a couple of years and he'll be ready. You've got Elaine Quijano as the anchor from CBSN. Oh, CBSN. It's their 24-hour news network, and also a correspondent for CBS News is going to be anchoring that one. And then the next presidential debate is coming up on Sunday, the 9th of October. And you've got Martha Raddatz from ABC News, who should have retired 100 years ago, and Anderson Cooper as the moderators. So it doesn't get any better.
It doesn't get any better than that. When we come back, we'll have our offbeat news stories for you.
There's a bunch of them.
Stay with us.
Then like us on Facebook. Go to authorityreport.com and click the window into her Facebook page. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Looking at it across the Golden Gate Bridge.
Right on.
I love that song. The critics hate it.
We did build it.
Uh-huh.
Yep. We built it. Yes, we did build that.
Mr. President.
So, the Washington Monument's going to be closed indefinitely.
Are they saying why?
Because of problems with the elevator. They can't apparently fix that. They can't fix that.
Would that be, you know, an infrastructure problem?
I mean,
that Donald Trump talked about last night?
I don't know. I mean, every symbol of our patriotism is being taken away. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
So now...
every touchstone.
You can't go in the Washington Monument. A few years ago, they had an earthquake. How weird is that?
In Washington.
An earthquake underneath the Washington Monument, and they had to fix it. They were able to fix that, but they can't fix the elevator. How hard is it to fix an elevator?
Well, I mean, it is 555 feet tall. Doesn't that amaze you that I know how tall the Washington Monument is?
I'm supposed to be impressed.
Yes.
I'm impressed.
I mean, I whip out useless trivia like that. I think you should give me some props.
I give you props.
Okay, thank you.
But they should be able to fix that.
I agree.
It's a freaking elevator. So you're going to close.
I mean, hang on. It's not like a typical elevator where you have, you know, if you've got a problem on the 33rd floor, you go up to the 34th. I mean, it is a sealed, contained, you know, whatever the hell geometric shape that is, that big phallic symbol there.
The World Trade Center is bigger than...
yeah, but you've got access to it.
Isn't it bigger than the Washington Monument?
Yeah, of course it is.
They don't have a problem with their elevators.
But you have access to the different... I mean, this thing is not that big. It really isn't.
So...
and
they
again,
can't fix that.
I don't know.
So they're just going to close the whole thing. That's...
can you go up into the top of the Statue of Liberty anymore?
I don't know. Can you?
Let's look it up. You can't.
Really?
Uh-uh. Nope. Used to be able to.
Well, I remember when we went there, we couldn't.
No.
Yeah. The Eiffel Tower, when I went to Paris, they were renovating it, but I think it's reopened now. And you can go to the top. But I couldn't go to the top when I was there.
All right. Odd stories besides the Washington Monument. Do you have one?
Do you?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact.
I figured you would.
Of course I do. I grab all kinds of these odd stories.
That's why you asked. So, go ahead.
Charges are being filed in Pennsylvania against a woman accused of smoking pot while driving. Not just sitting, you know, off to the side of the road, man.
Yeah, you shouldn't be smoking grass while you're driving.
Officers.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Officers in Westmoreland County said they smelled marijuana smoke coming from a car in front of them last week in Adamsburg. And
where were we? We were at some restaurant, and I was like, it smells like grass in here. Where was that? Was that Nashville, or was that here?
I think it was here.
I was like, are they smoking grass in the kitchen? Because I could smell it. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, Lord, that's funny. I do remember that. Man, that was strong.
It was.
Wow. Let's see. Officers said they smelled marijuana coming from the car in front of them last week in Adamsburg, Pennsylvania. And Kelly DiLorenzo was behind the wheel. They say the odor was so strong, it's made its way into the cruiser through the air vents in the car. On top of that, DiLorenzo is accused of driving without a license and having psychedelic mushrooms and 2 ounces of weed.
Psychedelic mushrooms?
Yes. 2 ounces of weed in the car. She told the cops, hey, I smoke a lot of weed and I was smoking when you pulled me over, man.
Dude. Maybe it was medical reasons.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, you know, it could be.
It could be.
Medical marijuana thing. I don't know.
I don't like that story. That one doesn't. Haunted house at amusement park catches on fire. I'll just read the headline to you.
How does that happen?
No serious injuries are being reported after a real-life fire broke out at a haunted house. It's not a real haunted house, but the one that caught fire over the weekend at a Utah amusement park.
Everywhere we go is haunted.
I know.
I think it Lights has to do flicker. With us. I think it's us.
Lights flicker all the time.
I used to think, you know, it was the place, but I think it's us. Anyway, go ahead.
You know the sheriff from Milwaukee? Black sheriff who, you know, badass guy, appears on Fox News Channel because he's one of their
I think
guys.
He fills in for Beck sometimes.
Mm-hmm. He has. A Wisconsin man is in a world of trouble for allegedly berating Sheriff David Clark while on an airplane. Sheriff Clark, obviously known as a bad guy, and seems to have proven that over the weekend. Reports say that a guy named Preston Blunston got drunk, very drunk, and was very disruptive while on the flight to North Carolina.
Well, the
from
name
Milwaukee.
Preston should tell you something.
Uh-huh. They say he had he spent 2 hours in the air berating the sheriff and causing problems in general. Sheriff Clark took matters into his own hand when the plane landed and held the guy down until police officers took him into custody.
You don't want to be doing anything on an airplane.
No.
That's just stupid.
You know, I can see this, the
flight. We don't even talk on an airplane.
The flight attendants, you know.
We don't, when we walk into an airport, we don't even talk to each other. Because we know everything's recorded. What?
What a jerk.
What?
Howard Dean.
Oh, the guy who was yelling about.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the, 96, 98, 2000 election, something like that. Donald Trump's sniffles during last night's presidential debate.
Sniffles?
Are lighting up the internet with questions and parodies.
What does that mean?
Not all the questions seem to be serious. 2004, Democratic presidential candidate and former governor of Vermont, Howard Dean, tweeted, "Notice Trump sniffling all the time? Coke user?"
No, there's no way.
One debate watcher wondered on Twitter if Trump has allergies or a deviated septum, and another tweeted, "Is something wrong with Donald's health?" Someone set up a Twitter account called...
Oh, that's just douchey.
Uh-huh.
You know, this guy, he doesn't even drink. He doesn't smoke.
No,
he doesn't
I know.
Do anything.
Someone set up a Twitter account called @TrumpSniff and quickly drew more than 1,000 followers. One of them tweeted a discolored, or rather a doctored image of Trump speaking while holding a box of tissues in his hand and having tissues in his nose.
That's just not nice.
No, it's not.
You know, and not necessary.
Uh-uh.
I mean, he's pretty much a picture of health.
Last story. British women can now use a smartphone app to choose a sperm donor to father their child. What's believed to be the first app of its kind anywhere in the world, the so-called Order Daddy app, allows women to browse through potential donors' physical characteristics, such as hair and eye color and height.
But wouldn't it be more fun to actually, you know...
They also can... I'm just going to keep on driving. They can also filter education level, occupation, and read descriptions of the personalities.
Why do you just want... Wouldn't it be more fun to actually, you know...
They have hookup apps for that. That's different. This is just if you want the, you know...
How do you know? How do you know?
I know these things.
Why?
I don't know these things, but I just do.
Okay.
You know damn good and well that they have, you know, apps out there for, you know, for hooking up, finding, you know, your love lost or your whatever, your mate.
I'm just
mate.
Saying, I mean, if you're going to try to, you know... get preg. You might as well enjoy the process. Just saying.
That's tomorrow's show. Hey, we got to really, you know, step it up tomorrow.
Why is that? On
Wednesday Hump Day Sex Day Talk Show Day.
Oh, yeah. Wednesday is
to keep up with what we did last Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Last Wednesday show is epic. But... Anyway, I'm just saying that if you're going to try to get pregnant,
mm-hmm.
you should at least enjoy it.
Enjoy the ride.
The pregnancy part is, you know, it's okay, but it's not that fun at the end.
Well, it depends on how you time it out. I mean, if you time it out so that you're delivering the baby in, you know, the winter months, it's okay. But if you're delivering the baby in, you know, August or September in Florida, miserable.
And if you have 33-inch hips, there's no baby coming out of there.
Ain't no baby squirting out of there.
So you're getting a C-section.
Yeah.
Which is not fun.
Yeah, that's experience talking.
That's not fun.
Hey.
What?
I stayed up late last night and got up early this morning and put together 37 sound bites from the debate last night.
37. I think we should work backwards.
Of course you do.
You hate when I work backwards.
No, I don't. I just, you know, I have a set order to things. And then when you change my order...
It drives you crazy.
Yes, it does. Because I'm a Taurus and I do not like change like that.
I know. And I love change.
It drives me nuts when you do this. Trump said he would support Clinton if she wins the debate.
I want to make America great again. I'm going to be able to do it. I don't believe Hillary will. The answer is if she wins, I will absolutely support her.
That was the question. You asked earlier what the question was at the end that Lester kept asking over and over and over again. Would you support her? Would you support her? If she wins, will you support her?
Yeah.
I know what he was trying to.
What was his problem?
I know what he was trying to do. He was trying to get Donald to say something about the corrupt election system and the rigged election system. and how the Department of Homeland Security is registering.
He asked the question three times.
I know. And how Department of Homeland Security is being used to register more Democratic voters. And Trump wouldn't bite. Clinton says she'll abide by the results of the election.
Well, I support our democracy. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But I certainly will support the outcome of this election. And I know Donald's trying very hard to plant doubts about it.
And rightfully so. And rightfully so.
So who are you going to vote for?
Who?
You.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm still going to vote for Trump.
Okay. If you register to vote.
And I already am.
With which address?
Shh. Shh. We're not playing that game on the air.
All right.
Don't even. Trump suggests that he could have brought up subjects that would have hurt Clinton and her family.
I was going to say something extremely rough to Hillary, to her family, and I said to myself, I can't do it. I just can't do it. It's inappropriate. It's not nice.
In one of the things that I read overnight, it talked about he was going to mention Webb Hubble and the eerie semblance between
the resemblance between Chelsea and Webb Hubble.
Uh-huh.
Put a picture of them next to each other.
Uh-huh.
They look exactly alike.
Trump says a president needs tremendous stamina.
I said she doesn't have the stamina, and I don't believe she does have the stamina. To be president of this country, you need tremendous stamina.
And here's her response to that.
As soon as he travels to 112 countries and negotiates a peace deal, a ceasefire, a release of dissidents, an opening of new opportunities in nations around the world, or even spends 11 hours testifying in front of a congressional committee, he can talk to me about stamina.
You know, from a woman's point of view, it's hard to
argue that.
To not like her.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I understand that. And when she gave that answer, it was like, yeah, I get that. That's pretty badass.
She was badass last night. I mean, she kicked it. He was less prepared.
He was less prepared, and I guarantee he won't be on the next one.
I don't know. What do you think? Do you think Hillary won the debate last night? 844-544-8255. That's our phone number, 844-544-8255.
And what advice would you have for Donald Trump? What advice would you have for Trump so that he doesn't get, so that he doesn't get clobbered again? And
he got clobbered last night.
And should he pull out the stops? Should he just say, you know what? I've got one chance to prevent this woman from becoming president. I did that on purpose for theatrics.
You almost said something really
bad.
No,
I didn't.
There.
I wasn't going to. It was theatrical. I made the buh sound and then went into theatrics,
you're
honey.
Bad.
It's radio.
You're
they can't
bad,
see me.
Bad, bad.
They
bad.
Can't see me, so you have to. Anyway.
Your last word said.
Yeah.
Be good.
Be good. Don't give me the look. What advice would you have for Donald Trump? You know, would you take the gloves off? Would you just go after her?
I think if he were going to be more effective next time, he would have more facts. He didn't have enough facts about what's going on in the world. You know, I understand the NAFTA thing. I agree with him. However, the foreign policy stuff, He's not.
Yeah, he's going to be in trouble.
He's not good on foreign policy.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's very difficult. You have to actually, you know.
It's her strong point, admittedly.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're.
She traveled 112 countries.
Right. So, I mean, she knows a lot of stuff from meeting with different world leaders and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Clinton says Trump's words about the Muslims actually hurt the people needed to help fight terrorism.
Donald has consistently insulted Muslims abroad, Muslims at home, when we need to be cooperating with Muslim nations and with the American Muslim community. They're on the front lines.
Trump came back and said that Clinton had the chance to fight ISIS but didn't defeat them.
Now, you're talking about taking out ISIS. But you were there, and you were Secretary of State when it was a little infant. Now it's in over 30 countries. And you're going to stop them? I don't think so.
Okay, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he had been that assertive throughout the debate. I think he was too worried about being overbearing. I think he got bad advice. I don't know.
Here's one area where I think Donald backed down, and I don't know why he backed down. I mean, it's not germane to this election, but it's the birther issue. Why did he back down from the claims that Obama was not, or was born in America, or was not born in America? He backed down from it and, you know, said that he was wrong. I don't know that he should have.
I don't know that it's true.
Well, let's ask Donald.
I was the one that got him to produce the birth certificate, and I think I did a good job.
At this point, what does it matter, really?
No, I know that, but they're the ones who brought it back up again. Trump says that he did a service by getting Obama to produce his birth certificate.
I feel that they really wanted me to come to that conclusion, and I think I did a great job and a great service, not only for the country, but even for the president, in getting him to produce his birth certificate.
Secretary Clinton.
He did not produce a birth certificate.
No, he didn't.
He produced an abstract of a birth certificate. Do you know what the word abstract means?
You know, I really don't want to...
You don't want to go there.
Go ahead.
All right. No, I won't.
No, go ahead.
I won't.
I want to hear what you want to say.
No.
Say it.
I saw the eye roll.
Say it.
I saw the eye roll, and I know when, you know, I know when my wife and host of the show wants me to.
Say it.
Back down from a topic.
What do you got?
It's an abstract, and if you look up the definition of the word abstract, it means like an artist's viewing, an artistic representation, not an exact copy, not a legal document, but an artistic rendering. An artistic rendering of a birth certificate. Let's just fantasize that he was born here.
You are bad.
I think Trump backed down from that, and he shouldn't have. And history.
Well, here's my question. Was he born here?
Well, who knows? I believe he was.
The mayor declared him born here. Now, why would they have to do that?
Don't know. And if it were so, if this were really an issue, Hillary would be all over it. Because we know that she was born in Illinois, so there's no question.
She was wearing the white hat, and she didn't want to go there. She didn't really attack him on much of anything except his tax returns.
Which was kind of lame.
What do you mean it was lame?
It was lame.
I want to see his freaking tax returns.
As I told you in the 6 o'clock hour, the only reason you go after him on the tax returns is because you know that there's something in there that you want exposed. And that you can't expose it.
I want to see his tax returns.
That Hillary can't expose it, but if it's exposed by
And, you know, as much as you don't like Lester Holt, he made a good point. He said the reason people give their tax returns when they're running for president is so that people know what their business dealings are.
Sure. And why don't we see the speeches, and why don't we know what Mrs. Clinton told to Goldman Sachs and how much money they paid her? Where are the transcripts of those speeches?
She released her tax returns.
She released her tax returns, but so what? It's talking about people who she owes. She gave, Goldman Sachs gave her a boatload of money for different speeches, but she won't release the transcripts of those speeches.
I don't know what to say.
Okay, here's something else, too. Why?
I think it's pretty simple. You know,
hold on. I want the exact number here.
You release your tax returns when you run for president. Everybody does that. Why is he not doing that? That concerns me.
Maybe because his tax return is not like yours and mine, where it's two freaking pages, 1040 or 1040A.
I don't care. GE's tax return is, you know, 1,000 pages or whatever. It doesn't matter. What is your problem? I mean, why do you have a problem with the fact that, you know, he doesn't want to do something that's normally done? Why?
He said he'll do it.
Well, let's see it.
By the way,
what?
96% of Hillary Clinton's charitable donations in 2015. Do you know where they went to?
No.
96% of her charitable donations that were tax deductible went to the Clinton Foundation. Shall we dig through tax records? Shall we continue to do so? These two know each other very, very well. They know where all the dirt is on each other. That's why this is going to get really, really, really ugly.
You piss me off.
Lines are open right now. 844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is the Doherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440. Report, and we'll read your comments on the air. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
I'm not speaking with you.
Why?
Do you know why? All the stuff you just said before the timeout.
That 96% of the charitable donations that Hillary made were to the Clinton Family Foundation.
How is that any different from Trump not releasing his tax returns? They're the same. Yet you want to single her out and not call him out for not releasing his tax returns.
I don't care whether he releases his tax returns or not. There's no legal requirement to do so.
That's not really the point.
There is no legal requirement to do so. You fill out the financial disclosure forms as required by the Federal Elections Commission. That's what you're required by law to do. That's what he's done.
I didn't know you were an expert.
I'm not. But he did what he was supposed to. And he said he'll release them. I believe him. If he doesn't, then he'll pay the consequences for not releasing them. And like I said, these two candidates, I said this in the 6 o'clock hour, these two candidates go way back. Way back. In fact, I'd like to know how long ago Hillary Clinton met Donald Trump.
You are biased.
Yeah. So?
I'm not.
So?
I try to be open-minded. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But you have an agenda.
I wouldn't say that I have an agenda because I can't.
You have an agenda. You have a Republican agenda.
Oh, God. I have a conservative, you know, approach to things. I wouldn't say that I have an agenda because if you have an agenda.
Oh, you then, have an agenda.
Well, no, then you would. You know what? If I had an agenda, as you're describing, then all the cuts that I would be playing today would be Donald Trump and I would be pimping him. And I'm not.
You are pimping him.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I played just as many Hillary cuts.
Pimp.
I have played just as many. Here, I'll tell you what. Let's just play only Hillary cuts for the rest of this hour. Okay. Clinton wonders whether if Trump has paid any of his taxes lately.
The only years that anybody's ever seen were a couple of years when he had to turn them over to state authorities when he was trying to get a casino license, and they showed he didn't pay any federal income tax. So
that makes
if
me
he's
smart.
Paid...
Yeah, that makes me smart. That one just went right over her head. Clinton says Trump may be hiding something in his tax returns.
He is.
This is something that the American people deserve to see, and I have no reason to believe that he's ever going to release his tax returns because there's something he's hiding. And we'll guess. We'll keep guessing at what it might be that he's hiding.
What we need,
why does he just release him if he's not hiding something? And what is your problem?
Where's her medical records? If she has nothing to hide, then release the medical records. Clinton says she made a mistake for using a private email server.
I made a mistake using a private email.
That's for sure.
And if I had to do it over again, I would obviously do it differently. But I'm not going to make any excuses. It was a mistake, and I take responsibility for that.
Clinton and Trump spar over spending.
Because it's been squandered on so many of your ideas.
But you
and
respond
maybe
and we'll
because
next...
you haven't paid any federal income tax for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I think is important.
That's right.
It would be
point
squandered too,
is...
believe me.
Yeah, it'd be squandered as well.
So he's basically admitting he didn't pay income tax.
Well, if he did not pay due income tax, he would be in jail.
No, he would not be in jail.
Sure.
He would get a tax lien.
Is there a tax lien against him?
I mean, depending on what state he filed in.
He filed in the state in which he lives, New York.
He could have filed in Florida because he spends...
He's not a full-time resident of the state of Florida.
He's not a full-time resident in New York either.
He's more of a resident there than he is here, so...
In your opinion.
Well, there are legal definitions as to what a Florida resident is. And the number of months that you have to live here to be able to claim this as your domicile.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Oh, really? Oh, really? I think we better check with our legal department during the commercial break whether there is a requirement or there is a definition.
I think your residence is where you say your residence is.
He paid New York taxes and federal taxes on his money. Good enough for me. No tax lien.
Let's see. We don't know if he has a tax lien or not.
We're going to find out.
Stay with us. Your only job is to make sure we're on the air at the appropriate time. That's your only job. Chris Christie is now a supporter of Trump. We're going to talk about it right now. You're the voice trying to understand it. Make the noise and make it clear. Oh, oh. We're not going to sit in silence. We're not going to live with fear.
This is the Doherty Report with Elizabeth Doherty on The Voice, AM 1440. Here's Elizabeth Doherty.
I am sick of this. I am sick of this radio station not doing their job. I am sick of it. And I'm done.
Here, let me turn the mic up. There is a set clock, and we were ready to go at 8:08, and they weren't ready yet. Welcome back to Hour 3 of the Doherty Report. It may be the last Doherty Report on 1440 WPRD. Let's check with Nigel and get you caught up on the headlines for today. Nigel?
I'm Nigel, and these are the four things you need to know. The first of three 2016 presidential debates is in the history books. Joe Gomez has the story.
Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton exchange blows during the first presidential debate of 2016.
30 years you've been doing it, and now you're just starting to think of solutions.
Well, actually,
I will bring back jobs. You can't bring back jobs.
Well, actually, I have thought about this quite a bit.
Yeah, for 30
and
years.
I have, not quite that long. I have a feeling that by the end of this evening, I'm going to be blamed for everything that's ever happened.
Why not?
One of the most notable moments during last night's debate was when Trump vowed to release his tax returns.
I will release my tax returns against my lawyer's wishes. When she releases her 33,000 emails that have been deleted, as soon as she releases them, I will release my tax returns.
Hillary Clinton leads Donald Trump in a new poll. The latest NBC News SurveyMonkey poll shows Clinton up 45% to 40%, which is the same as last week.
Orlando Health is memorializing the Pulse nightclub terror attack and the victims. The hospital where most of the injured were treated dedicated a Pulse Memorial Pave a Gardener's Lake Beauty Park on the hospital system's Orange Avenue campus. 49 limestone pavers were installed surrounding a garden and a fountain. Surviving victims and families of the Pulse era attack are set to start receiving compensation starting this week. News 6 in Orlando reports one Orlando fund officials approved a plan yesterday to begin distributing nearly $30 million to some 300 claimants. Funds are expected to be distributed starting Friday. Tim Kaine is hoping to energize Florida voters in the I-4 corridor to vote for the Democratic ticket. Hillary Clinton's running mate campaigned yesterday before a crowd of dozens at the Lakeland Center. Kaine watched last night's debate against running mate Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump at an Orlando watch party. Hillary Clinton campaigns today in North Carolina. Now, here's Trixie the Weather Girl with your forecast.
Mostly sunny today with a high near 91, then a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 8 p.m., partly cloudy, with a low around 74. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. I'm Trixie, your weather girl. That's your Central Florida forecast on 1440 The Voice.
All right, 13 minutes after 8 o'clock, I'm Michael Serio, along with my wife, Elizabeth Doherty. This is the Doherty Report, and I'm going to tell you that, you know, we take this very, very seriously, and, you know, I know I have been admonished not to air it on the air, but it's just frustrating, you know, when you're standing by and we have a clock that we developed, you know, in conjunction with the station, and we're ready to roll and they're still playing stuff, and it's just frustrating. That's all. I mean, it's one thing to...
You think it's frustrating?
Yes, it's very frustrating.
It happens regularly. I should not talk.
Neither of us should talk. Neither of us should talk. Part of me wants to just play music for the rest of the hour.
Yeah, I think you guys should just go play your music and, you know.
Part of me...
I am tired of this.
I'm going to forge ahead. But let's put the station on notice. We will not. Have the show sound like this and be disrupted. We'll just move on if we have to. Clinton says at the debate last night that the economy needs to work for everyone.
First, we have to build an economy that works for everyone, not just those at the top. That means we need new jobs, good jobs, with rising incomes.
She says there needs to be an investment in American jobs.
I want us to invest in you. I want us to invest in your future. That means jobs in infrastructure, in advanced manufacturing, in innovation and technology, clean renewable energy.
Clinton says Trump's plan is a new form of trickle-down economics.
In fact, it would be the most extreme version, the biggest tax cuts for the top percent of the people in this country than we've ever had. I call it trumped up trickle down, because that's exactly what it would be.
Now, here's where, and it's too bad Elizabeth is not in the studio right now and that we could not talk about this, but here's where I have a serious problem with this. And this is something that, you know, I have even a problem with Trump. When they use the pronoun I and we are going to bring jobs back, or we're going to create jobs, are they talking about themselves as an individual, or are they talking about government, or are they talking about creating an environment in the business sector where the business sector creates jobs? Because I'll find the statistics in a bit for you. In fact, I'll find them during the next time out and give you the exact number. But government should not be creating jobs. That's not what the role of government is. The role of government is not to create jobs. The role of government is to create an environment where entrepreneurs can do that, can create jobs, can create good, long-lasting, high-paying jobs. That's what the government, the role of government should be. But since the 1930s, since the Roosevelt era, and then on and on, it's that government needs to be, you know, involved in creating jobs. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. They wind up being low-paying jobs. They wind up being temporary jobs. They wind up costing the taxpayer far more than if you just handed somebody a check. And I wish Donald Trump would speak up and say, no, I'm not going to create jobs, but I'm going to create a business environment using the tax code of this country and using, you know, if I have to, strong-arm tactics in the Oval Office to get these guys back on the same page. And I'm going to publicly shame them. Why isn't Ford being called out for closing down and taking a manufacturing plant to Mexico? Why aren't they being shamed for doing that? Remember how proud Ford was when they didn't take government money? And Chrysler and General Motors did? Remember how proud Ford was? And now they're the ones running off to Mexico. Someone ought to just ram that right up there and rub their noses in it that they're taking American jobs away. I'm actually surprised and disappointed that Donald Trump is not calling out the chairman and the people who run Ford for that business decision. And I would hope that if he winds up as president, that that's what he will do. That will be one of the tactics, that we're going to embarrass you for doing stupid stuff that hurts this country. We're going to take a time out, and I've got a list here of just where we are financially in America today and what a mess we're in.
Lines are open right now. 844-544-8255. 844-544-TALK. This is the Doherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440.
At night I wake up with the sheets soaking wet and a freight train running through the middle of my head. And you cool my desire. Ooh, I'm fine.
Keep up with us during the week. Listen to show highlights and daily memos and more. Just follow Elizabeth on Twitter. Keyword Doherty Report. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the Doherty Report. 823, I'm Michael Serio, along with my wife, Elizabeth Doherty. We're playing highlights from last night's debate and talking about where we really are in America today from a financial standpoint. Listen to this. When Barack Obama entered the White House, the United States government was $10.6 trillion in debt. Today, the government is $19.5 trillion in debt, and Obama still has several months to go until the end of his first or end of his second term. That means an average of more than $1.1 trillion every year will have been added to the national debt during his pregnancy. Presidency. We're stealing a tremendous amount of consumption from the future to make the economy look much better than it otherwise would be, and we're systematically destroying the future in the process. Number two, as Obama prepares to leave office, the rate at which we're adding to the national debt is actually increasing. During the fiscal year that just ended, the U.S. government added another $1.36 trillion to the national debt. Number three, it isn't just the federal government that is on this massive binge. U.S. corporate debt has nearly doubled since 2007. Number four, default rates on U.S. corporate debt are at the highest level they've ever been since the last financial crisis. Number five, corporate profits have fallen for five quarters in a row, and it's now projected that it'll be six in a row once the final numbers for the third quarter come in. Number six, during the month of August, commercial bankruptcy filings were up 29% compared to the same period a year ago. Number seven, the rate of a new business formation in the United States dropped dramatically during the last recession and has hovered at that new lower rate ever since. Number eight, the Wall Street Journal says this is the weakest economic recovery since 1949. Number nine, Barack Obama is on track to be the only president in all of U.S. history never to have a single year when the U.S. economy grew by at least 3%. Number 10, in August, the Cass Freight Index dipped to the lowest level that we've seen for that month since 2010. What this means is that the total amount of stuff being shipped around the country by air, rail, and truck is really dropping, and this is a clear sign that real economic activity is slowing down in a major way. Number 11, capital expenditure growth has turned negative, and history has shown that this is almost always followed by a new recession. Number 12, the percentage of Americans with a full-time job has been sitting at 48% since 2010. You have to go back to 1983 to find a time when full-time employment in this country was so low. Labor force participation peaked back in 97 and has been falling steadily ever since. Number 14, the inactivity rate for men in their working prime years is actually higher today than it was during the last recession.
I'm going to suck it up and do my job, okay?
I appreciate that.
But I'm not happy. I'm not happy that several times a week we have this problem.
Let's keep going. The listeners may not have even realized it. The folks listening
they
to
probably
the station
don't.
Probably did not even realize it because we covered
but,
it.
You know, I'm tired of covering for, you know.
Yeah, I know.
How hard is it to just put us on the air on time? How hard is that?
604? 708?
808.
And we'll be out at 5950 every hour.
I mean, it's not rocket science.
No, it's not. Number 15, the United States has lost more than 5 million manufacturing jobs since 2000, even though our population has become much larger over that time frame. Number 16, and this is the most unbelievable statistic of all. If you can believe it, the number of government employees now outnumbers the total number of manufacturing employees by almost 10 million.
That's intentional.
Number 17, one study found that median incomes have fallen in more than 80% of the major metropolitan areas of this country since 2000.
They want big government.
I know. According to the Social Security Administration, 51% of all Americans make less than $30,000 a year.
That's like almost poverty level.
It is poverty level. You can't do anything with $30,000 a year. The rate of home ownership in the United States has fallen every single year that Barack Obama has been in the White House.
That's right.
Number 20, approximately one out of every five young Americans are living with their parents.
Because they can't afford to live anywhere else.
Number 21, the auto debt bubble recently surpassed the $1 trillion mark for the first time.
If you combine auto debt with auto insurance, I mean, we're paying $1,000 a month for one car.
For one car. Now, granted, half of that is because of
somebody's
lead foot.
Auto record. Not mine. Anyway.
Number 23. In 1971, 61% of all Americans were considered to be middle class. But now, middle class Americans have actually become a minority in this country. In a recent study.
It's exactly what Bob Lasseter said.
Yep.
There's going to be no middle class. It'll be the rich and the poor. That's pretty much it.
We're on that path. Number 24, a recent study discovered that 62% of all Americans have less than $1,000 in savings. I'm actually surprised it's that, you know, that low.
That low. Yeah.
I would have thought
it would have been probably more.
Number 25, according to the Federal Reserve Board, 47% of all Americans could not pay an unexpected $400 emergency room without borrowing the money from somewhere or selling something. I believe it.
Okay.
The number of New Yorkers sleeping in homeless shelters just set a brand new high, and the number of families permanently living in homeless shelters is up 60% over the past 5 years.
People can't afford rent. You know how much rents have gone up in the last few years? Because people can't buy houses. The rents have been going up. And, you know, I don't believe in rent controls, but it's making me think maybe there's some Maybe there's some value to that because, I mean, paying ridiculous amounts for rent is not affordable for people. So they're living in the woods and stuff. I mean, it's terrible. I'm very conflicted about that.
This article goes on to say, by recklessly just creating money out of thin air and pumping it into the financial markets, the Federal Reserve has greatly enriched the elite, but they've also dramatically increased the gap between the very wealthy and the rest of us. Since he has been in the White House during this time, Barack Obama has gotten the credit for this temporary stock market bubble, and most of the elite love Obama anyway. But in the process, the stage has been set for the greatest economic and financial implosion in U.S. history, and the pain that is coming is going to affect every man, woman, and child in this country. During the debate, Clinton and Trump will talk a lot about tinkering with tax rates and regulations, but those measures are essentially going to be meaningless when compared to the massive economic tsunami that's coming. The next president is going to inherit the biggest economic problems that this nation has ever faced, and it's going to take a miracle of biblical proportions to turn the U.S. economy in the right direction. And that's where we are right now.
Intentional. That was intentional.
To drive this country into the ground.
Yep.
Congratulations, Mr. President. You did it.
Yeah. So he gets to, you know, take all the benefits of, oh, we helped this person and that person and everything. And then he leaves and we're left with all the debt. And our children are left with all the debt.
I want an accounting. I want to know where the money has gone. I want to know where $11 trillion has gone since 2008. I want to know what the Fed has been spending money on and where the gold is in this country, where our gold stash is.
I have really bad news for you. I don't think the gold is there anymore.
I know you're right, and it pisses me off.
We've got pieces of paper that are worthless. And all it takes is China to say, we have a gold standard and you don't, and we're screwed.
Keep up with us during the week. Listen to show highlights and daily memos and more. Just follow Elizabeth on Twitter, keyword Doherty Report. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the Doherty Report, the award-winning Doherty Report. We have a caller on the line. Welcome to the program, sir.
Good morning, Doherty. How are you?
Good morning. So what's on your mind?
Yeah, just I was listening. You know, the problem about American companies leaving the country, it started a long time ago. You know, and if you just Google it, just go to Google it, you type it. What year American companies started leaving the country? 1982. That's basically where everything started.
That was during Ronald Reagan's administration, right?
Exactly. It just go to, I mean, and it isn't about Republican or Democrat, you know, it's just about the fact. You know?
Right.
It was started in 1982 when this cancer started and nobody did nothing. Nobody stopped it. Just they let it go, and that's the thing is, just grew up. That's my comment.
Well, the NAFTA and the GATT thing, NAFTA, you know, that's the thing that Trump keeps talking about, saying, you know, that free trade agreement is hurting us and that's why companies are moving. But I think it started well before that, like you're saying.
Exactly. So that's and the thing is, you know, blaming now presidents and, you you know, oh, they're doing this and doing that. It doesn't make any sense, you know. But everything is a long time ago, and nobody said nothing. Nobody stopped it. That's it, you know.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. Thanks so much. Yeah, that's true. I feel like people don't really understand that. People don't understand how long this has been going on. And he brings up a really good point.
That businesses have been leaving this country for years?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Our number is 844-544-8255.
I did it again. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's our phone number, 844-544-8255, if you want to weigh in on what we're talking about. But it's true. This has been a problem for a long, long time. It hasn't been just in this administration. It was well before that.
I want to look up. He said if you Google businesses leaving, when did businesses?
He said 1982.
B-U-S-I-N-E-S-S-E-S start leaving the U.S.
So, I mean, I don't doubt what he's saying because I think that Ronald Reagan did a lot of deregulation, which worked two ways. In one way, it helped the country. In another way, it allowed companies to leave and do other things. So,
you know what? I'm looking at this, and I don't see a specific, and this is in Time magazine. It was a story that came out in 2014. It says the Obama administration is trying to stop corporate inversions. I remember that. A closer look at how they work and what the U.S. Treasury is doing about them. And again, that being trying to, you know, repatriate that money.
Right. I think, you know, we've got some real problems. I don't know who's going to solve them. And I watched the debate last night, and I felt like Trump could have done a better job than he did. I think his intentions are good. But I think Hillary was way more prepared.
She may have been more prepared, but that's what a politician is. Slick, well-produced. It's one of the things that people who like Trump like about him is that he is not, you know, he is not polished.
Isn't that sort of, you know,
what you see is what you get.
Part of the deal, though? I mean, if you're going to run for president, shouldn't you be polished?
Well, then what is the role of president?
What is the role of president?
Don't know. Trump says businesses...
A phone and a pen?
Yeah, something like that. Trump says businesses should not be allowed to leave the country.
You want to go to Mexico or some other country? Good luck. We wish you a lot of luck. But if you think you're going to make your air conditioners or your cars or your cookies or whatever you make and bring them into our country without a tax, you're wrong.
Here's where he and Hillary got into a heated exchange.
So he's talking about tariffs.
Uh-huh. Here's where he and Hillary got into a heated exchange.
30 years you've been doing it, and now you're just starting to think of solutions.
Well, actually,
I will bring back jobs. You can't bring back jobs.
Well, actually, I have thought about this quite a bit.
Yeah, for 30 years.
I have, not quite that long.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
There was a wrestler named Dusty Rhodes, and he used to give people bionic elbow, bam, right on the top of the head with the bionic elbow.
Yeah.
Here Clinton and Trump spar about the TPP trade deal.
Well, I hope
you called it the gold standard of trade deals. You said it's the finest deal you've ever seen.
No.
And then you heard what I said about it, and all of a sudden you were against it.
Well, Donald, I know you live in your own reality, but that is not the fact.
It was a bloodbath. It was epic. you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the next debate, because I think Trump realizes that he has to be more assertive because she is very well prepared.
I think he was
she's
expecting...
She's a lawyer.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to realize she's a lawyer. She knows how to spar.
Sure.
And so...
I think what he was expecting was frail Hillary, you know, who needed help up the stairs and, you know...
She was not frail.
No. No.
She looked good. She spoke well. She was prepared. You hate this.
I do. I do, because I want him to just to mop up the floor with her. You got something coming in there?
WPRD.
Yeah, there is. It is the same guy, Michael. Tell your husband to scroll down the computer. He will see the article, The Economist.
The Economist. About,
you know, why the... Yeah, the article is in The Economist, 2015.
Okay.
We'll look it up. Thank you so much, Michael.
Just scroll down. He found it?
We'll look for it.
Thanks so much.
We'll look for it.
No problem.
Thanks. All right.
WPRD.
Yes. You guys talking about when Obama, leave the United States, didn't leave with a debt. What about when Bush left it? They left it with a humongous debt or no?
Yeah, we're talking about,
that's in the past.
We talked about it, that
yeah.
When Bush left, there was a debt of 11. Hold on. I did mention George Bush, that when George Bush left office, there was a debt $11 trillion. That $11 trillion is now $19.5. President Obama has rolled up more debt than 43 other presidents combined in 8 years, sir.
He's gone.
And where is that? Where are those trillions of dollars?
I don't know. Our number is 844-544-8255. That's 844-544.
Where's the money?
8255. Could you not interrupt me when I'm giving out the phone number? Is that too much to ask?
It's theatrics.
Okay. Anyway.
And like Trump said last night, if you're sitting there and the streets are paved with gold... And, you know, you know what the biggest thing is going to be on the next 5 to 10 years? The biggest problem facing cities? The same thing that's going on in Flint, Michigan. The water supply. Because these cities are sitting on, including Orlando, a water supply system that is 50 to 100 years old that hasn't been updated.
The water in Orlando actually tastes...
Well, yeah, the water is great, but getting it to your house through the piping and plumbing systems that is antiquated now.
The water in Orlando is way better than Tampa, I'll tell you that.
And how about the electrical?
I knew a woman in Tampa, rather, that had a fish come out of her sink.
Okay, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird.
You know the Chavez family
mm-hmm.
that had their restaurant?
They have their own well?
No, they didn't.
They were getting it from the city municipal water system.
And a fish came out of their sink.
But again, like Trump said last night.
That's rather unusual.
Yes, it is. If indeed the streets are paved and everything is great and you've got a wonderful, you know, electrical delivery system in place and you've got a great, you know, infrastructure, your roads are all paved and you're deep in debt. That's great. And everyone's working.
Here's what I want to know.
Then it gets paid, you know, then it will pay for itself. And that's what happened during the Reagan administration.
I want to know if it's just me, but I thought Trump was not at the top of his game. 844-544-8255. I thought he was not at the top of his game.
No, I agree. You know, those past couple of days where Hillary's been at home at Chappaqua, you know, having the servants take care of her.
Why do you do that?
Why do I do what?
You just
point
hate,
out the obvious?
You just hate her? I mean,
yes.
I don't hate her. I don't hate anybody. You know, I try to be fair. She won the debate. She won the debate.
Not according to the people who you know, who visit Drudge.
According to CNN.
Oh yeah, they're unbiased.
Oh, and Drudge is not biased?
Of course it is.
Okay.
Okay. This is going to be, you know what this is going to be like over the next 30, 40 days?
It's going to be you and me fighting about this.
Every single day.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're wrong.
This is just like Florida
you're
State.
Wrong.
This is just like Auburn, Alabama. This is just like Ohio State, Michigan.
I like Auburn. You like Alabama. That's fine. War Eagle, baby. War Eagle.
You couldn't even name a player on the Auburn team.
Not now.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't live there. But I did live there.
But that's what this is going to be like for the next however many days until the election. I'm just waiting for the October surprise.
I just want it to be over. You know, there is going to be an October surprise. There is.
I'm afraid of what that
October
surprise is.
I don't know what that is. But, you know, everybody keeps saying there's going to be an October surprise. What's it going to be? What's going to be that jaw-dropping news story that makes up your mind? What's it going to be?
Clinton says Trump says crazy things. And that she might be blamed for everything.
I have a feeling that by the end of this evening, I'm going to be blamed for everything ever happened.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah, why not? You know, just join the debate by saying more crazy things.
Just admit she did a good job.
She did a good job.
Okay.
There. You feel better?
Yes.
She did a good job. She did what a politician. That we know and hate and despise does.
That
they prep.
You know and hate
they
and despise.
They prep. They do their homework. They study, you know, and they're conniving.
I don't. Okay.
What did I say that's wrong?
I don't have that type of acrimony towards.
And you wonder why.
Either of them.
You wonder why I have acid reflux.
I don't dislike either of them.
Meanwhile, Trump says politicians like Hillary are to blame for the problems in America today.
Mr. Trump,
typical politician, all talk, no action, sounds good, doesn't work, never going to happen. Our country is suffering because people like Secretary Clinton have made such bad decisions.
Which bad decisions would those be?
Which one? Take your pick. Supporting TPP and then backing away from it, or you know, the bad decisions in Benghazi in Libya, overthrowing Gaddafi.
The Benghazi thing was bad. That was bad. Very bad.
Take your pick.
WPRD. Hello. I don't
That's all right. Don't worry about it. I know. The telephone is a new thing for a lot of them.
I'm sure maybe he just had a bad connection or something.
Lines are open right now. If you want to chime in before the end of the program, 844-544-8255. 844-544-8255. You've accused me of being biased and having an agenda. Yeah, my agenda is really clear.
You do have an agenda.
I care about my country. I care about the country that, you know, your son and my children.
You have a Republican agenda, and that's fine.
Will inherit. And right now they're inheriting rat's nest.
I'm an independent. I don't have an agenda.
Right now they're inheriting a third world bankrupt country. A country that's bankrupt physically, spiritually, and morally. That's what the
compared to other countries, this is an amazing country. I mean, you want to compare it to people living in boxes in other countries?
How about people living in boxes here when it's so unnecessary?
I agree that we should be taking care of our homeless, and we're not. And it bothers me in Orlando that we're not. I think that that's a huge issue. Huge. And I think, you know, the next time there's an election for mayor,
that it should be brought up.
Either of the county or the city, it should be brought up. You know, it's just not acceptable to have 8,000 homeless people living in the woods in East Orlando. It's not acceptable.
We have 2 minutes left here. The biggest thing that came out of last night's debate, and I mentioned this earlier and it's worth repeating, is the fact that we have one guy who wants to make America great again. We have another one running who wants to be the fairy godmother.
You know, I don't think that's a fair assessment.
It is. Both of them.
No.
Neither of them have a very clear viewpoint of what the president is because we don't teach history. And what the president is supposed to be is an administrator, a manager, more than anything else. And because Franklin Roosevelt so changed, and this is true, don't give me the eye roll and look at me with the side eye, because Franklin Roosevelt so changed what the presidency is.
Look at your posture.
We don't know what the president is supposed to be anymore. He's supposed to set the agenda, put things into motion, send bills to Congress that he would like to see passed, and then step back and let the legislative process work. We have no clue anymore what the president is supposed to be and what his powers actually are. And until we get that figured out, we're in danger of having a king, an elected king, ruling over top of us every 8 years. Doesn't it feel like we have that now? Doesn't it feel like we are?
I think it felt like that with George Bush.
Sure. Of course.
I mean,
because we don't know what
going after Iraq when they had absolutely nothing to do with 9/11.
I agree.
Completely wrong.
Of course it was.
And cost a lot of money and a lot of lives.
And what did we do? We rewarded him with a second term. Because
you know
we don't know what the presidency is supposed to be.
That's on your soul.
And we better learn quickly.
That's on your soul, all those people that died.
Gracie, we got to get out of here.
We'll be back here tomorrow.
Maybe.
6 a.m., maybe, if they let us back here.
This is the Doherty Report with Elizabeth Doherty on The Voice, AM 1440, WPRD, Winter Park, Orlando.